Hello and welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every week I bring you a new episode where I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons that they've learned along the way. And on Fridays, I get to chat with you about whatever's been on my heart. And so today I'm sharing with you my favorites for June. As we've been into the summer, I've just been really getting a lot of enjoyment out of some pretty simple things that I thought you might enjoy hearing about. And I would love for you to comment back and let me know, what are you loving this summer so far? Might be stuff you're doing for yourself, stuff you're doing for your kids. Leave a comment on my Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3. You can leave a post on Facebook at the Extraordinary Moms Podcast page, or over on our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. Tell me how your summer's going. Tell me what you've been doing that's been really awesome or helpful or enjoyable this summer. And we can all, you know, share our favorite things and learn from one another. So one of the things that I love to unwind with, obviously, is watching a good show. And there's a lot of intense kind of dramas out there that I really like. They're usually ones that I watch with my husband, and that's a fun thing for us to do together. But whenever I have some downtime, or whenever I'm multitasking and, you know, cleaning up around the house or just kind of unwinding at the end of the day, I love watching just kind of a fluffy show that kind of takes me out of my own life and puts me in this just enjoyable environment. And for right now, it is the set of Gilmore Girls. I've watched the series before. It's really fun and punchy, and while I'm not a total fan of the ending, I feel like the series conclusion is kind of anticlimactic. In the first few seasons are a lot better, and it kind of gets drawn out towards the end. I don't know. There's just something about the characters and the witty banter and just the quaint setting of Stars Hollow that just makes me happy. And so if you haven't already watched Gilmore Girls, I would definitely recommend it. It's really fun, and they have all the seasons on Netflix. That makes it really convenient. So Gilmore Girls is definitely something that is fun to rewatch, even if you've seen it before. Something to go back to. In addition to watching shows, I am trying to read a lot this summer. I just finished Where'd You Go, Bernadette? That was a great book. I didn't really know what to expect from that one. It's a fiction about a family who's planning a trip to Antarctica, and for some reason, all of a sudden, the mom kind of has a mental breakdown and she disappears. And you may have guessed it, her name is Bernadette. And so they're trying to locate her and whatnot. And it sounds kind of weird when I describe it, but it is fun and funny and light and a perfect beach read. And something a little deeper that I'm currently in the middle of reading. And I just feel like I want to keep reading it forever. And yet, I don't know. It's so much, and it's taking so much thinking out of my brain that I'm reading it super slowly. So maybe it will last forever just because it's taking me so long. But I'm reading Rising Strong by Brené Brown, and I'm sure a lot of you have already heard about this great book. She was the author of Daring Greatly, and this is in some way the sequel to that. So Daring Greatly was about stepping out and taking risks and being confident, being bold in your life. And then Rising Strong is about how when you inevitably step out and take those risks and be bold and all of that and really live life to its fullest, you're going to fall sometimes. You might fall a lot, but it's not whether you're going to fall, it's when you're going to fall, and then how do you get up? And she has done extensive research on the idea that you can rise strong. You can do something with that fall or that failure. You can do something with that weakness, and you can rise strong from that. And you can come back bigger and better and stronger than you ever were before. And it's in being in the midst of that journey where you can make a lot of choice as to how you approach the hard things in your life and how you reconcile tough emotions and tough memories and all of those types of things. So it's one of those books where it's really heavy in some ways. It's really enjoyable to read as well, but I find myself really wanting to read it slowly and then really think about it. And so I'm really only halfway through, and I've been reading it for about 3 weeks. And I just pick it up and do maybe 15 minutes a day. But I feel like no matter where you're at in your life, whether you're going through something hard or whether you've just gone through hard things in the past or inevitably hard things will come, it's really great it's kind of like therapy in a book for me. I don't know, it's just really striking a chord. One thing that it's talking about is how this rising strong process that she has kind of come to outline for people. It says the goal of the process is to rise from our fails, overcome our mistakes, and face hurt in a way that brings more wisdom and wholeheartedness into our lives. And who doesn't want that? You can't escape those hard things in life, but you can definitely be more prepared for those hard things and more self-aware to face them in a way that's really going to help you down the road. So she says there's three things that we need to do. There's the reckoning, the rumble, and the revolution. The reckoning is recognizing our emotions, get curious about our feelings, and take that first step to be willing to identify, like, what is going on? What am I thinking? What are the emotions that I'm feeling? And connect that with ourself. Because if we just You can really skate on the surface of your life pretty easily and never really dig deep. And you can stuff a lot of things down and be unwilling to engage with your own life. And that's not really a healthy way to do it. It's not productive for you, and it definitely can be damaging to the relationships around you. So, first is just reckoning, realizing what am I feeling, what's going on here. The second thing is the rumble, and that's owning it, owning your story, getting honest about these stories. And she goes into more depth about how our brain craves to create a story or storytelling. She says, in the absence of data, we will always make up stories. It's how we're wired. In fact, the need to make up a story, especially when we are hurt, is part of our most primitive survival wiring. Meaning making is in our biology, and our default is to come up with a story that makes sense, feels familiar, and offers us insight into how to best self-protect. What we're trying to do in the rumble, choosing to feel uncertain and vulnerable as we rumble with the truth, is an unconscious choice, a brave, conscious choice. So she goes on to say that we are going to naturally create stories in our mind. However, it doesn't matter whether those stories are accurate enough. All that our brain cares about is creating a story that's a beginning, middle, and end. And we need to do our best to create stories that are true and are authentic. And that's the best way to be able to deal with any situation is to have a really accurate and real perception of that event or that emotion or that situation. But, we also often default into because of our past, because of the way, our chemical imbalances may be or things like that. Some of us default into telling and creating stories that are not accurate. And by doing so, we're perpetuating those stories and those lies in our brains that are contributing to not being able to truly rise strong and be better. And so we have to be aware when we're telling stories or creating stories in our mind that are not true and that are based off of faulty information. And when we can really get real with that, and replace those stories with things that are real, we have a much better chance at building up from the ashes that maybe you were once in. So that's the rumble, owning that story. And then the third part is the revolution, and that's writing a new ending to our story based upon the learnings from the rumble and creating a braver story about engaging with our world and transforming the way that we live, love, parent, and lead. And who doesn't want to do that? Who doesn't want to transform into a better person, a better spouse, a better parent? And by just getting real with your past and your present so that you can have a really bright and promising future and not be held back by any of those things. I mean, that is just so exhilarating to me. And so I'm somebody that really appreciates being self-aware, and I'm not always good at it. For sure. There's tons. I mean, as I've been reading this book and really digging deep into my own mind, I've come across so many instances where I'm creating stories that are not accurate. And that's really, contributed negatively to relationships or just to my relationship with myself and my own self-acceptance. And that's hard to admit, but I want to be done with that. I want to create real stories based on real evidence, real data. And I want to be better. I want to be stronger. And I just want to live so transparently that I have just nothing to hide. And I have nothing to to get worked up over. You know, when new things, hard things come about in my life, I want to be ready to rumble with that again. I want to be able to feel any emotions and to not be afraid of them. And this book has really helped me to do that. It talks about heartbreak and grief and working through that and acknowledging grief and what that looks like. Let me just, if you haven't already read it, pick up this book. I'll have links definitely on the website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. You can buy it straight from Amazon. If you have Prime, it'll be here in 2 days, which is the best thing ever. But I have loved this book so much. It's definitely deeper than a light, beachy read, but it's really been thought-provoking, and I think it's really a great read for moms because, you know, you can't really show up for your family in the best way possible if you're dealing with your own stuff. You know, you need to be strong and whole yourself before you can really pour yourself out for those around you. So I definitely recommend this book. Okay, so number three is, I've mentioned this before, but Rach Talk. Rachel Hollis does a series where every week she puts together a little conglomeration of things that she just talks about, whatever has been going on in her life, and she narrates little funny things. And so I was in San Diego last week visiting my family, and it was such a fun trip. We had such a great time, and we went to Disneyland. I took my boys. It was Jackson's first time. He loved it. It was so funny because he was just expressionless like the whole time, but he wasn't upset at any of the rides. He had to be so tired. He had to be so hungry. I mean, everything was just working against him for the most part, especially like later in the afternoon. He was just so content, just taking it all in. It was the cutest thing. And I had my dad there to help, which was just the best. I couldn't have done it without him. And my sweet cousin Jenna was there with us too for a time. So it was a fabulous day. So anyways, we are at California Adventure and we're walking to the next ride. And I look over into like the food area and Rachel Hollis, or who I think to be Rachel Hollis, is sitting at a table with her three boys. Now, I've never met Rachel Hollis in person. Obviously, I'm a fangirl of Rachel Hollis. I've talked about her books before. I've talked about her Rach Talk. I want to have her on the podcast. I think that might be happening in the fall, which is super exciting. I can't wait. But I don't know her. I don't know her. And she's like, she's a celebrity to me. But, I mean, most people could walk by her and not know who she is, but I know who she is. So I kind of walk by and I think, oh my gosh, I think that's Rachel Hollis. And so I tell my dad, I think that's somebody that I follow on Instagram and I like follow her work. Let me do like one more walk by and see if it's her. So I like do a lap and sure enough, she's wearing a hat and it says Chic on it. And her website is the Chic site. And so I'm like, yep, no, that's totally her. And I'm like, well, should I say anything? I don't know. He's like, yeah, totally. Tell her hi. Tell her you're a fan. It's like, okay, well, if somebody were to recognize me in public for what I work hard to do, I would love somebody to come up and tell me, hey, I recognize you. I think you're awesome. So I took one for the team and I went up to her and I said, Rachel Hollis? And she's like, yes. And she was like, nice, but you could also tell she was caught totally off guard. And that's when I started doubting, like, should I have done this? Should I have gone up to her? Because she either looked like she was about to, like, receive a check for the Publisher's Clearinghouse, or she was, like, kind of mad to be interrupted. I don't know. And I'm like, I'm just such a big fan. My name is Jessica, and I've read your books, and I love your work, and here your boys are so cute, and I have three boys. Look at my boys. Look at your boys. How cute are we? And so I just kind of fangirled for a sec and just said, I just really love your work. And I think you're going to be on my podcast soon. You probably don't know that because I've only talked to your assistant, but you're going to be on my podcast. And so that was just like a lot of information thrown at her. And so being caught off guard, I felt bad kind of bombarding her and I probably did it in a super dumb way, but still I walked away and she shook my hand and she was so lovely and, you know, said, oh, thanks for being a fan. Thanks for introducing yourself. She was so cute, so nice. And I met Rachel Hollis. And I should have taken a picture. I totally should. So here's the funny thing. You need to look up Rach Talk from this past week. I will link to it in the show notes. She talks about this encounter on Rach Talk. She talks about meeting a fan at Disneyland and her version of the story. She's such a funny storyteller. And she claims that she had soup, like, dried and smeared on her cheek, and she had peppers in her teeth, and she was, like, super awkward. When we met, I'm here to tell you, she was just as darling in person, caught off guard, as she was in any of her Rach Talk videos. However, her version is hilarious. So, check that out. It's at minute 1446 of the Rach Talk, and that's where you can start watching if you want to hear just that story. Or you can watch the whole thing. She'd probably really appreciate that. But I met Rachel Hollis, and hopefully we'll have her on the podcast soon because she's super awesome, and she'd be a great person to talk to about motherhood because she is an extraordinary one. So that was a really fun moment for me. So I'm in Virginia. It is hot. It is so humid. So we're trying to do water things every day. We don't have access to a pool right now. Sometimes we do. People get invited places, but we don't have regular access to a pool. So I went over to Target and just bought like a baby pool, like inflatable pool. And let me tell you, they love it. I have a 6, 4, and 1-year-old. And, well, almost one. Jackson's going to be one next week. Can you believe this? It's like crazy. This has been the fastest year of my life. So anyways, the 4 and the 6-year-old, they love this thing. When I brought it home, my husband was like, that's kind of babyish, but I don't know. But then they saw it and they're like, yeah, Mom, because it's like a few inches of water. It has the inflatable ring around the outside, and then it has this like inflatable part that sticks up on the side, and you can like throw balls into this net. I don't know. It was $20 at Target. And to be honest, I wanted a cheaper one, but they were out. It was been so hot, and I think everyone had the same idea. But it's nice to have a way for them to like get wet, splash around, but not be totally worried all the time about like monitoring them as far as like true swimming, you know? So, you know, I can sit out there with a book and watch them splash around and stuff. And it's just so fun. And they've had like hours of entertainment. And don't think just because your kids are getting a little older that they don't want to like splash around in a sprinkler or splash around in a baby pool. I got them $1.99 water guns and this baby pool. They've been so happy. And it keeps them outside, keeps them off screens, and it keeps them cool in this really humid, hot, hot weather. So that's been really fun. I've really been enjoying finding a way for them to get wet. And we just went to the waterfront this morning and played in like a really small splash pad area. It's just like little fountains that shoot up. Super dinky, super small, not fancy. They loved it. For an hour, they're just like running and splashing. It was fabulous. It was wonderful. So look in your area for splash pads and any free activities where they can just like literally splash in the water. I brought a change of clothes. They didn't come home in their wet bathing suits. Super easy, but it just got us out of the house. And now we can kind of relax during nap time when the baby's sleeping. And now I already feel good because we got them out of the house. We got some exercise running around outside, got some sunshine, and now we're back in the house for a quiet afternoon. Love it. Love it. Love it. I've also been listening to a lot of podcasts, and I do that while I'm driving, while I'm walking, while I'm doing laundry, things like that. And one of my favorites is The Lively Show, and it started out as a business-based one where she interviewed a lot of business people and things like that, but right now she is kind of letting us in on a really personal aspect of her life. She sold her home, sold basically everything that she had in the home as well, and she set off for Europe, and she's broadcasting live from Europe every week, and she's kind of taking us along on this journey, and it's not very well set out. It's like planned a week in advance. And so she's really just like going with the flow and figuring out her new life as she goes. And it has been so fun living vicariously through these travels. And there was one episode in particular that really spoke to me. And it was episode 150. So this is the show, The Lively Show with Jess Lively. Episode 150. And the title is A Lively Adventure, Internal Alignment versus External Expectations. And she talks about how like the week before everything was like really coming together and flowing nicely. And just everything was just amazing. It was kind of like the honeymoon period of her travels. But then she kind of got to where they're like the rubber met the road and things didn't necessarily work out all the time. She started feeling more conflicted about having more of a plan and wanting answers. And I don't know, this episode in particular just like really got to me when I needed it, talking about how internally she wanted certain things and externally certain things were kind of affecting how she felt about where she was at and like what answers she currently had and what plans she was making and why she was making those plans. And we all kind of do that. We let outside factors and people and influences affect how we run our day-to-day life sometimes. And so I really liked how she brought that awareness to the surface. And she was like, you know what? I need to do what's like right for me. And I'm going to go where I feel like I'm kind of supposed to go and things like that. I don't know. It was just really, it was great. And it's only 20 minutes. So if you need a 20 minute podcast to listen to, look that up. The Lively Show, episode 150. And, I'm sure it will, you'll have some takeaways right away from that, regardless of where you're at. But I mean, no doubt as you are facing the summer with your kids and having less structure, a lot of times, you know, outside influences can definitely skew how you feel about your day-to-day life. So it really just kind of brought me back to the present and helped me just to let go of some things that were just kind of skewing how I was viewing my days. I mean, we don't have to have jam-packed days every day that are the most fun summer day ever, every single day. We can just live and we don't have to be our kids' cruise director and we can provide really fun opportunities for them. And then sometimes we can just let them be imaginative at home. And we don't need, you know, what other people are posting on Instagram to influence how we think our summer's going and things like that. So, yeah, I really loved that. Look that up. And I'd love to hear what you are loving this summer. So those are my things that I'm loving right now. I am so excited about next week's episode. I haven't been recording as much. I did a lot in advance so that I can really be present with my kids and enjoy the summer. So this week on episode 54, I'm having Leslie Spencer. And Leslie is someone who Instagrams at the handle Dream Big Little Ones. And she has a daughter who has dwarfism. And she's going to talk about coming to terms with that diagnosis when she was pregnant and finding out that her daughter was going to be born with dwarfism. She is a typical height as well as her husband. This was a complete shock to them, but she really talks about how they journeyed through that and reckoned with that knowledge that their daughter was potentially going to be born with dwarfism. They weren't sure what that would mean for her future health complications. And she talks about redefining beauty and just really appreciating the differences that each child brings to this earth and wanting her daughter to not just be known as someone who has dwarfism, but to be known as Lila, as a three-year-old, as someone who is fun and funny and all of those things. But she also happens to have dwarfism. So it's a great message. I know you're going to love my conversation with Leslie. She's a wise, extraordinary mom, and I can't wait for you to hear that on Tuesday. So have an awesome weekend, and we'll be back for another Tuesday episode with another extraordinary mom. Have a great day. Bye.